Well, church, we did it. Give yourselves a round of applause. We made it through another Christmas, yeah? All right. You sung the carols. You've been saturated in the story. You've anticipated and waited and anticipated some more. And now, finally, God's gift to us has come. The gift of himself in the person of Jesus. But unlike most of the other gifts that you received this Christmas, and I hope they were good ones, God's gift is not one that we simply unwrap and then ooh and ah over and then move on to the next one. This is one of those gifts that we spend a lifetime unpacking. Because no matter how many times we turn it over, no matter what angle we hold it up to the light, no matter which corners we peel back, there's always something more that it gives to us. So even though Christmas is come and gone, I say we keep the party going. Yeah? Even as the holiday reveries are going to taper off and the new year comes, I say we keep dwelling on the gift that God has given to us. Because it's one thing for us to say Jesus is the reason for the season. And it's a whole other thing to know what that reason is. For Jesus is coming in that season in the first place. And so in the coming weeks, we are going to be asking, what makes God gift of himself a gift to us? And today on the first Sunday after Christmas, we're pulling a corner back to see what the gift of Emmanuel, God with us, is all about. We're going to do that by looking at Galatians 4. And so I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. The words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right, before we jump into all of this in earnest, I'm dying to tell you guys, share the best gift that I ever received. Yes, it happened this year. No, it was not on my list. And to be honest, I didn't really even know that I wanted it until it was happening. And yet, of all the gifts that I've ever received, it's probably my favorite. I need to give you a little context here first. See, for the last, for as long as I've known me, I have been the child in my life, right? Not that it's any of your business, but we're talking about 40 years here. So for the past 40 years, I was the one that Christmas song was all about. I was the tiny tot, eyes all aglow, who found it hard to sleep at night. I was the mother's child, spying to see if reindeer really did know how to fly. The evidence is inconclusive, but, you know, I got another 40 years in me. Who knows? But this Christmas, for the first time in 40 years, I was not the child in my life on Christmas morning. For the first time in 40 years, that honor went to somebody else. That went to little Ellie. And so I got the incredible gift this Christmas of being Papa and her being child. Which means that it only took 40 years, but for the first time, I was actually more focused on somebody else this Christmas than I was on myself. We call that a genuine Christmas miracle, folks. Never thought it would happen. And honestly, I had no idea how much of a gift this was going to be. I had no idea how delightful it would be to watch Ellie watching the tree light up. And I had no idea how much joy I would gain from dancing with her to all those indie Christmas carols that I like. I had no idea how it would just make my heart sing to see her smile and clap as she saw snow for the first time. We even took her out in it yesterday, and she got a taste of it. She's not sure about it yet. I had no idea how truly amazing it would be to witness her unwrap her present, grab the toy, toss it aside, and then go to town on the paper in the box. And so, on a side note, if you're at all interested or inclined to get Ellie anything at this stage of life, keep your toys, get her a cardboard box, she will love you forever. And all of that to say, I did not know how to ask for this particular gift, but she gave it to me anyway. And she made this Christmas for me so much more beautiful and rich than any I can remember. And so for the past week, I've been savoring this gift, treasuring it in my heart, grateful to God for making it so. And in the process, I've come to realize something. I realized that Ellie's gift to me is precisely what the first Christmas and really every Christmas since, what they've all been about. This sacred, joyful connection between a parent and a child. It's the reason for God coming to us, the reason that he gave us the gift of himself in Jesus. Did you hear it in our scripture reading this morning from John 1? It said, he, Jesus, came to what was his own, and his own people didn't accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. It's the same gift that the Apostle Paul points to in our text from Galatians that we just read. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? In order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Now, it's not that I was completely unaware of this language. But when it comes to saying what Jesus' birth and life and death are all about, I don't think I often name it like this. It's much more ingrained in me that the reason Jesus walked this earth was to save us from sin, right? Or to rescue us from death or liberate us from the power of evil. And all of that is true, but crucially so is this. Jesus was born and lived and died so that you and I might be adopted into God's family, so that you and I might become legitimate children of God, that we might belong to him as his own. And this is only possible because of Jesus. See, the title Son of God belongs rightfully to him alone, but the incredible thing is, and it just blows me away, he shares that with us. He grants us that sacred and special status as God's child to all who take on Christ for themselves. And so the reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus this Christmas is because his birth allows us to be born as God's sons and daughters, born again by water and by Spirit. And all of this is not an accident. It's not an afterthought. This is what God wanted all along. That's why our text says God sent his son, sent him like on a mission in order to accomplish this very thing. God wants us in his family. And I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the reality that the gift given to us all this Christmas is not just God with us, but also incredibly us with God. And if that's true, then I give far too much space to the accuser who daily tries to convince me that I am not good enough for God. That God wants nothing to do with me, that God is fed up with me, that God's just waiting for me to make a wrong move, that, God is sitting there judging me. But church, that's not what fathers do. Fathers, good ones, love their children and they work for their flourishing. And we are God's children. I mean, come on. I'm not sitting around waiting for Ellie to prove herself worthy of my love through her actions. That's ridiculous. She belongs to me. She's mine. She has my love. I delight in her. How much more do we belong to the God who has knit us together in our mother's wombs? And not just us. You, me, your enemies, all belong to God. And God takes such delight in us. Beloved church, you bring such joy to God your Father just by being his daughter or his son. And so now that we're talking about all this, I think I need to amend my best gift ever comment, because this is as good a gift as any could give, even Ellie. It's unbelievable. Really, to know that genuinely nothing brings God more joy than having us around. That the gift of Jesus at Christmas, that his whole life and death were about making a way for us to belong with God. God with us, so that we can be with God. But the good news is better than that. The gifts keep coming. Listen to verse 6. Because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, do you recall where we've heard this language before of Abba, Father? Paul lifts it directly from Jesus' lips. Remember when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying desperate prayers before heading to the cross. Hear it again from Mark 14, 36. Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. So Jesus' words. Now, maybe by this time you know that in Jesus' native tongue of Aramaic, Abba was the term used by children in regards to their father. Now, we might say daddy or papa, but that's the sense. It's not formal at all. It's incredibly familiar, which is probably why before Jesus, there are no recorded instances of people ever speaking to God in this way. No one even thought to do it. It would have been inappropriate and irreverent, but not for Jesus. Jesus is God's son, and he knows who he is. And so when Jesus comes to his most troubling hour, he does not grovel before an angry God or curse a distant and aloof deity. He cries out for his papa, his daddy, his Abba. He stands confidently and boldly in his relationship as God's son and then does what good children do. He displays full trust in his father. For you, all things are possible. And then he speaks openly and honestly about what his heart desires. Remove this cup from me, this cup of suffering. And finally, he submits himself in obedience to what the Father determines is best, yet not what I will, but what you want. And in those three short phrases, Jesus is teaching us what it looks like to have his Spirit living within us. Because this is a radical way of relating to God. See, we're good at relating to God through the law, through acts of good works, through obeying commands, through going to church and, you know, ticking all the religious boxes. We're comfortable, in other words, with playing religion and thus keeping our relationship with God at a distance. I think it takes practice, though, to step into our status as a child of God and all that that entails. And Jesus' prayer in the garden is a good place for us to start to learn. We can learn from Jesus to exchange this insatiable desire that we have to control our lives and the situations around us, and exchange that for a posture of trust in God. We can learn from Jesus the importance of not just playing the religious game by saying what we think God wants us to hear or wants to hear, or what we think we're supposed to say. If God is going to be our dad, then we've got to be uncompromisingly honest with him. Good, bad, ugly, uglier, all of it. I think, though, what's most difficult of all for us as Westerners is to learn from Jesus how to submit, to bend our knees in obedience and say, not what I want, Abba, but what you want, because you know best. The Spirit of Jesus living in us is an incredible gift, but it's a gift we have to learn to receive. We have to practice receiving it even. And yet this too is God's deep desire for us. For a second time, Paul says here that God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts. God intends this. God's mission from the start was to give his life for us so that we might be filled with his life in our own. And I think that to the point that until we know God as Abba, as Papa, as Dad, and we do not know God to the fullness that he desires to give himself to us. We belong to God as his children. God's very Spirit dwells within us, confirming that this is so. And amazingly, there is still yet another gift to unwrap in all this. Verse 7, you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. See, it's not just that our status as belonging to God's family or not changes. Now, Paul uses the language of slave and child, and he's drawing on the image of how the household worked in those days. Slaves have no inheritance. They have no rights. Children do. So it's not just that our status changes from not belonging to becoming a child, but we also gain all the rights and all the privileges and the inheritance that comes with being a child as well. So what is our inheritance? Well, the same Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3 that all things are yours. All things, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. So because of Jesus, and for any of us who are in Christ, nothing in all the world is withheld from us. All belong to you. What God has to give us is exactly what God has to give Jesus. We are co-heirs. All joy, all love, all beauty, all purpose, all satisfaction, all peace, all goodness, eternal life itself, it's all coming our way as children of God. That is the promise and the hope that's wrapped in swaddling cloths and placed in a manger that we just celebrated. So it's not just that God has come to us in the form of a child, but that because he did, we are now God's children. We're caught up into his family. We're filled with his Spirit, and we are gifted a sublime inheritance that cannot be taken from us. This is what makes God's gift of himself a gift to us. And so as I have been savoring all of this past week, treasuring it in my heart, I realize that just as my identity profoundly shifted in regard to Ellie this Christmas, where for the first time in 40 years I was not the child but the papa, in regard to God, I realized maybe also for the first time in 40 years that my most precious and primary identity was, is, and always will be a child of God, beloved by my Father. And so it's got me wondering, as we tarry here between the gift of Christmas and the promise of a new year, that if what I carry across the threshold into 2026 ought not be the resolution to cherish and live from my identity as God's adopted son, above and beyond any other title that I would claim for myself. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and put it on record. You heard it here first. That's my resolution. For 2026, for me, it's the year I resolutely resolve to receive the gift of God as my Papa, and to try to fathom just how deep and wide and abundant is his love for me, to let the Spirit of Jesus teach me how to be a faithful son. And maybe most important of all, in the midst of an unsettling time and an uncertain future, to relax into the inheritance that I will one day share with all of you. And I've got to imagine that if how I feel about Ellie is any indication, God is one proud, delighted Papa when we realize that he is with us so that we might be with him. You, Kenai Fellowship, bring such joy to God. Happy New Year. We'll catch you on the flip side. Pray with me. Abba, Father, what an amazing gift you've given to us that we can call you that. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, so that our lives might be lived to your glory and sustain us with all that we need in the year to come. We ask this with full trust because all things are possible with you. In the name of Jesus and in the power of your Spirit, amen.